Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you out again to another edition of Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. We got our brother Isaiah bringing the precept this morning. Why would you want to go to heaven? We are going to do our statement of faith. And let me open up my brother's mic. Shabbat shalom, my brother.
Hey, big bro. Grace and peace. Good morning.
Grace and peace. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm ready to go, bro. I'm ready to go.
Amen. 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 I'm going to read our statement of faith, and then I'm going to turn it over to you.
All right, amen.
Okay. Let me find it here. Man. Okay. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise this morning. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your grace, Father. Hallelujah. We glorify you. We lift you up and we magnify your name, Yah. Hallelujah. We praise you. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you for bringing us safely through the night, Father. We thank you for providing for us always. We lift you up and we magnify your name. Glory to you, Yah. Glory to you. You and you alone are worthy of honor and praise. Hallelujah. And we just want to give you all that we have, Father. Glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Yah. You and you alone shall receive our praise. Now I'm going to turn it over to my brother, Brother Isaiah, as he comes with the message. Why would you want to go to heaven? Shalom, my brother.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Grace and peace to the family and newcomers that are on board to the podcast show, to Yah Global Kingdom, and dealing with my side of the precept today, which is spirit of meekness and charity. Grace and peace, brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Isaiah, and I'm teaching a lesson today and also doing a reading. And the precept, one more time, just in case we have any new listeners tuning in, is called, Why Would You Want to Go to Heaven? And, you know, and the reason why we're dealing with this precept and the reason why it was even named this is to put yourself in the position to be a helping hand other than to debate or to make people feel bad about the things they have been taught. You know, and definitely to understand that we were once in the dark, you know. And it goes back to, you know, some of our teachings. You know, not saying everyone was taught this way, but a lot of us was taught in a certain way that we're taught to give our own opinion and our own judgment on things. You know, like, for example, the place I grew up in, you know, we are super harsh and very bashful to people who attend Sunday classes, you know, and it's like it was never taught to be, I hate you, but the message is like, you stupid and you don't know nothing. And the older I get and the more I was able to get into the scriptures and read for myself instead of listening to other people, you will understand that it is an easier way and a more appropriate way to come to the truth and to show people the truth. Remember, when the Pharisees was talking smack against Jesus, they said that he was a friend of sinners and publicans and a wine bibber. But if you catch the conversation was with Jesus, a friend of sinners. Now, in order to be a friend of sinners, that means that a servant of God will linger around long enough to even be considered something like that, a friend. You know, those who don't know, those who have their own understanding, how things were brought to them. We have to understand that we were once in the dark. It was a one time that we probably grew up as being Baptist and all that other kind of stuff. We know the stuff we've been taught. So just because we know the truth does not mean that we should look at somebody in some ill-mannered way or to cast them away and call them all type of matter things because the things they were taught and the things they know. Because the Bible simply said, let every man be fully persuaded in his own heart. So you can talk and breathe as hard as you want when it comes to people who know, I mean people who don't know, but God gives the increase. If God wants them to know, he will open their mind up to know. We don't need our own, we don't need to be putting people in categories of being wicked or not wanting to know the truth. That's not up to us to know, because the Lord can use the wickedest person one day and has him doing the greatest righteousness work that any man can ever give on this in the world. So we need to understand these things. And the reason why the priesthood is brought this way is instead of beating and bashing them down, ask them a question, you know? Deal with them in the spirit of meekness and fear. Put something on their mind. And then have them sit back and ask a question. That do make sense. And even if they don't believe it, you don't have to hate them and bash them and beat them down. Just go ahead and wipe the dust off your feet and still love a brother anyway. Because the reason why we're dealing with why would you want to go to heaven is because a lot of our teachings, well, a lot of the world teachings, tell their students or believers that when you die, you go to heaven. But what we need to understand is that instead of just beating and bashing them down, so you see here right here, you see this right here, you don't know nothing. Instead of being like that, we can just simply be like, well, okay, you say you die, you say when you die you go to heaven. But if you have some time, we can talk this thing out. You know, show me what you got and I'll show you what I got. And let's see if we can come to an agreement on some things according to the scriptures. And let's leave our own input out of it. You know, there's so many more humble ways we can do things. Because a lot of times, you might be able to put that person in the truth, but how behavior is, it demolished them from ever wanting to know the truth. And here we go high-fiving each other, thinking we did a good job, but we just woefully failed. So the name of the precept is called, why would you want to go to heaven? So I'm going to ask all the sisters to please cover your head. And our brothers to please uncover your head, and if possible, let's face east towards Jerusalem. And just give me a quick second so I can grab a Psalms reading, and then we're going to get into the scriptures and the spirit of meekness and charity, and just to be at a level-headed mind, and to not hate or bash anyone on what they know or what they don't know, but to simply be a good brother and suffer with the brothers, and suffer with the people who don't know. Just give me a psalm reading, and we're about to get started. These kind of shorts, we might be able to slide through on this one. Okay, I got it. All right, sisters, please cover your head, face east. Brothers, please uncover your head, and let's face east towards Jerusalem so we can pray in. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Behold, Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. The reading was taking place in the book of Psalms, chapter 133, verses 1 through 3, and also the book of Psalms, chapter 134, verses 1 through 3. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, amen. It's time for us to get into this precept, and it's time for us to get some understanding on this thing. Some understanding. So, brothers and sisters, what we're going to do is go into the book of Matthew, chapter 11. The book of Matthew, chapter 11. The book of Matthew, chapter 11. And how we're going to bring this precept, brothers and sisters, is just showing how you can be a friend towards people and how you can have a good behavior. So even if your doctrine or the things you bring on the table might be so off, they'll still respect you because the type of person you are. And that might want to keep them, that might keep them curious and try to understand more about the God you serve. But in order for that to happen, you got to present yourself friendly, not a know-it-all and trying to beat and bash people on the things that they know. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Matthew, chapter 11. The book of Matthew, chapter 11. And what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 13, and that's the only script we're going to read from this one. Oh, it's not 13, 19, forgive me. The book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Now, when these people, the super holy Joe Blows or the super holy people, when they see Jesus, they're so judgmental, they don't understand what he came here to do. He didn't come here to try to beat and bash people down. When it came to the people who didn't have no understanding, man, the Lord showed them love. But the ones who supposed to know, he had called them a fool in a second. Or the ones that been using things wrong, you've seen them flip over a couple of tables themselves. Now with the people who don't have no understanding, the ones who don't know the difference between left and right. But when you read this passage in verse 19, it said that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. And when we say look at these publicans and sinners, we're looking in the light, and we're looking at this more of a light of the things that we see and the things that we do and how we're supposed to, how we're supposed to be when it comes to serving the Most High. So he said he was a friend of publicans and sinners. So what does that mean? Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 18 to find out. The book of Proverbs 18 says he was a friend of these type of people. Then what? How was Jesus' behavior with people who have no understanding? Let's go in the book of Proverbs chapter 18. The book of Proverbs chapter 18. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 24. Proverbs 18 and 24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if you call yourself having friends, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if you call yourself having friends, you must appear yourself to be friendly. And whoever's around your circle, you might be closer to them than their own family members, than their own blood members, than your own cousins and aunties and uncles or whatever, or blood brothers or blood sisters. So when you're teaching the word of God and when you're doing your thing, you have to come in a position as being friendly. You have to come in a position that you know that hard times go come on people. You know how this world is. You know how this world thinks. You know how the ways we've been taught, if either in the world or in churches and stuff like that. So if somebody believes that when their daddy go to heaven and they so strong on it, why would you want to go and demolish and beat them down? Why would you want to do that? So if somebody come up to you and the topic come up about you going to heaven, don't you think you should come friendly? Don't you think you should come with a better behavior, not being overly righteous or not being a hypocrite? And we can fall fast to being a hypocrite because it was a once upon a time we thought when we die we go to heaven. So why are we going to sit here and beat and bash and hate them because that's what they believe? But rather what you can do is be a brother and talk to them, you know, or even just put something on their mind. And that's why we're dealing with the precept. Why would you want to go to heaven? It's because we're simply just going to put something on your mind. Not in no hateful manner. Not in no way of showing that you don't know nothing. But just put something on your mind. I ain't telling you to agree with me or not agree with me. But if you really look at how this world is going, why would you want to go to heaven? Why would you want to see all these things? Don't we know that at a point in time that God is going to arise up the saints and doing that 2,000, and after the 1,000-year millennium, doing the white throne judgment, the sheep and the goats will arise out of the ground. Every knee is going to bow, and every knee is going to have to confess, and every knee is going to have to explain on the things they have said and the things they have done in this world. Don't we all know that? But there's a way that we can come to people rather than just trying to point the finger on and try to show out on what we think we know. Why? Let's skip up and let's read verse 19. Let's skip up and read verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So someone's offended is harder to be won than a what? Than a strong city. So when we teach the word of God, when we deal with the word of God, like in the book of like in verse 24, it says, show yourself friendly. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So even if you guys don't even agree, he might be like, man, I never heard no stuff like that, man. I know I'm going here. I know I'm going to heaven. But one thing I can't say is that I can't say that's a dang on good brother. He don't talk bad about nobody. He always come with a meek and a humble spirit. He's always kind to me. People might be trying to get up on his skin. Even though I don't believe what you believe. But one thing I can't say is that you're not a good brother. I can't say that. So maybe I'll just stick around and see what else, let me see whatever Bible you know. And maybe that'd be your chance to snatch them up into a great chance of salvation. Because if you try to teach and try to do things that you think you know, and be all, because you know, I took such a long break on Facebook, you know, unless I'm texting stuff like that, you know, unless I text a nice scripture or something I see. But I really don't too much spend time on Facebook. You know, definitely if your friend list is flooded with people who supposedly know the truth, all you see is condemning. All you see is strife. All you see is hypocrites. That's all I see. I don't care how much scriptures they show. That's all you see because you act like you never was in this position as they are. But we just read in the book of Proverbs 18:19, it said, a brother offended is harder to be won than the strong city. Right? So we understand that we can't go that way to be offending people. But rather, let's say you just put something on their mind. You know, just put something on their mind. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, let's find out what's 1 + 1. So, let's go into the book of John 3:13. And then what we're going to do is that I'm going to break it down in the way the Most High showed me how to break it down with people who don't know. And I'm not saying you have to, but this is what the precept is mainly about. But what we're going to do is go into the book of John chapter 3. The book of John chapter 3. The book of John chapter 3. And what we're going to do is read verse 13. Give me 1 second, please. We're on John 3 and 13. John 3 and 13. And this is what it reads. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So this is just cut, plain, dry, and simple. But at the same point in time is, it can be cut, dry, to the point that they are so offended that they won't talk to you no more. But it might be a way for you to bring this and still gain a brother. Now, I'm not saying this is always going to work, because some things in the Bible, what we just do, you know, some things in the Bible is just, you can't get around it. You know, they get offended, they get offended. It's just some things we can't do. I understand that. But at the same point in time is, if we want to present ourselves friendly and do all these other things, what I like to do is put something on your mind. You know, the Lord blessed me to be a great thinker, you know, to use a lot of scenarios and put things in situations to get the point across. And that's what we're about to do. Use scenarios in different situations to get the point across. So now the Bible just simply said that, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So that's just plain cut, dry, and simple. The only one that came down from heaven was Jesus Christ. And after he did his time and business on earth and was in the grave for three and a half days, he went right back up into heaven. That is the only one that did that. No one else. So now you got to sit here and think for a second. A lot of people want to go to heaven, right? You know, they made movies about it, you know, TV shows, you know, commercials, and, you know, doctrine and teaching and stuff like that. But if you really just sit back and think about it, why would you want to go to heaven? Because what do you think you're going to see on this earth? Let's find out. Now let's go into the book of Job chapter 14. The book of Job chapter 14. The book of Job chapter 14. Then what we're going to do is read verses 1 and verse 2. Job 14, verses 1 and 2. Let's find out about this life of man, all men in general. Job 14 and 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. So what are we understanding? Like, what are we learning about this world we stay in, and definitely in this modern time we're in right now? What do you see in this earth? It's getting wicked and wicked by the day. Pain and anguish, family suffering, pure wickedness and sickness in the mind, the hearts of man and women. Organ stealing, body stealing, witchcraft and voodoo to the highest degree. Killing, senseless killing, family members dying, good people losing their lives. Why would you want to go to heaven to see all that? What if it's your loved ones? You think you could be up in heaven looking down, smiling? When you left a load of money to your children and you went all up to heaven, but you see the people that you gave it to using it in the wrong way and the children never seen a penny of it. Do you think you could be up in heaven smiling down, saying it's going to be all right? or if you leave your children to like a family member or something, you're up in heaven and you see that your children being misused and abused or all sorts of nasty or crazy maliciousness things happening, would you be up in heaven smiling down saying, oh, it's going to be all right? That means you just left hell, went right back up into heaven, looking at more hell, asking God, Lord, when is this going to end? So I understand why we will look at it as you just in heaven looking down, smiling, and like we don't see how jacked and messed up this world is. So why would you want to go? God is a just and a fair guy. He ain't going to put us through that. That's where the point of time, when we take our rest, they say the thoughts leave the mind. There's no more envy. There's no more strife. There's no more love. There's no more hate. Forever, you take your rest, lay in the ground. How could you not respect a God like that and to good abundance of mercy to do that for us so we don't have to look at this other madness in this world? There are so many ways of putting this thing. Because it said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, right? How long do a rose last? Well, the lilies, how long they last? For a little season. Definitely if you pluck them out and you give it to love, to your wife or somebody like that, it'd be in the water for a little bit, and a week later you see they turn black and they die. It's only here for a second. But it's giving us a metaphor on life. We only here for a second, but it's a whole lot of trouble in that second. So you can just imagine the wickedness and foolishness that's going on in this world. So why would you want to go up in heaven and see all of that? You think you're going to be smiling down, full of the spirit, singing songs all day and night, and you live this world and you live this life and seeing how messed up it is? So then you have to ask yourself a question. Why would you want to go to heaven? Why? Or even if you're righteous, why would you want to? Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. And what we're going to do, brothers and sisters, is read verse 18. Ecclesiastes 1 and 18. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Because the more you read, the more you learn, the more you know, the more the Lord will reveal this world to you, to show the servants how messed up this world really is. You know, and definitely if you see it and your own brother in truth don't see it. Because a lot of us in this truth, what they do is beat and bash other races of people. But not even understanding is that they got as much, they have as much of the salvation as we do. It came into a point of time is when in the New Testament the Lord said, I ain't never seen his face in Israel. I ain't never seen his face. Not in Israel. And you're gonna have all the nationalities going to and fro and sitting down on the table, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the ones and the children, Israelites, gonna be out of the kingdom. Because it's one thing that God is a God of righteousness, not color. Much sorrow, much grief. When you see the behavior of some of our brothers, and you know some of our actions is kind of sick. You know they misuse and abuse scriptures. You know, I've seen this one video, you know, if you can stomach it, you can check it out, you know. But I was on YouTube looking at this video, right? And they must have beat and bashed the Gentiles down so bad that they had this woman. It was a woman and they had a guy. But, you know, they're two different videos. It wasn't the same video to show you that they're used to this madness that they're doing. You know, the Gentile was so much in pain and grief and crying that she bowed down on her knees and started kissing all their shoes. And the Gentile brother got up on his knees and kissed their shoes. And they screamed and yelling hallelujah and stuff like that, not even understanding on what that scripture means. Much sorrow, much grief. When the Lord said that the greatest commandment is to love that God with all their heart and soul and love their neighbor as that self. But then once you go around the classes and you see how people behave and act, you know there's a lot of whispering, a lot of backbiting, a lot of self-righteous people. The Lord said, according to the scriptures, rule not over my heritage. Don't rule over my heritage. But that's what you see. You know, so many brothers and sisters have so many good talents and stuff like that. Not too much attention is being thrown to them. And, you know, you sit back and you just watch these things. And all you can do is just shake your head and be like, Lord, have mercy. And there are a lot of other things, too. Because the more you know, the more you start to understand, the more you see how far people understand it really and truly is. You really start to see it once the Lord open your eyes up. But the scripture simply says, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge, increase of sorrow. So what is this world like? And we put it on the pedestal as if you did go to heaven. Why would you want to go to heaven and look and see all this? Why would you want to go to heaven? You think you could be able to be singing and being joyful? You think you'll be sitting down with the Most High, mad and angry, or crying like, man, what's going on? God ain't gonna do us like that. He will not do us like that. So let us go into the book of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. And what we're going to do is read verse 21. Well, we'll start at verse 20. Let's start at verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Now, there are so many other ways of looking at this, but I just want to look at the way and put it in the fashion of the kingdom. Matter of fact, give me a second. Give me 1 second. I think I forgot to put a scripture in here. Just give me 1 quick second, y'all. Forgive me. Okay, amen. I got the wrong spot. Well, actually, no, I didn't. All I got to do is just keep reading. All right, so, okay, so we are verse 20, and we're going to read 21, 22, and 23. So let's start at verse 20 again. I'm sorry about that, brothers and sisters. Make sure I put this up in here, too. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, he cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whether I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Let's read that again, 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. So now we see the pure differences. So you can't come where I'm going. Why? It's because you're from the ground. I'm not from the ground, but I came from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I just came down here to put salvation back on the table. And then I'm going back home. But you came from the ground. When you die, you're going back where you came from. But I didn't come from that form. I'm going back where I came from. So we got to understand that. So there's absolutely no way in earth, when you die, you go to heaven. It's because we are from the ground. We didn't come from above, but rather from the ground. But when Jesus died, when Jesus go back, he's not standing in the ground. He went back above because that's where he came from. And we just used a little scenario in a couple of situations to put it in a light. Oh, why would you want to go there anyway? That is the angels and the Father's. I mean, that is the Father's business and the Lord Jesus Christ and the angels taking care of their work. They can stomach the things that's going on. But if we came from the ground and lived this type of world and lifestyle, why would you want to go up there? Why would you want to put yourself in a position to see all of this ruckus and anguish and pain? God ain't going to do us like that. So now let's check something else out. Let us go into the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 5, the book of Ecclesiastes 9 and 5. Verse 5. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward. For the memory of them is forgotten, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. So now we just got a pure understanding on what's going to happen to us when we take our rest. We're going to the ground. It said that for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. So you mean tell me when we take our rest, you know what, I'm starting to look at this thing like you've been working all day, you're so tired, you know, you get about 3 hours of sleep in. You know, you lay down and take your, you know, you lay down and go to sleep. And then it's like you've been asleep for like about, it feels like you've been asleep for about 20 minutes. But like 12 hours just passed, you know, but in that time frame you were asleep, you didn't know what was up, you didn't even know what was down, you didn't have no hatred in your heart, you didn't even have no love in your heart, you didn't have no envy in your heart, you didn't have no spite in your heart, you didn't have nothing in your mind but just a calm, cool, collect, deep sleep. And this is the portion that we will have when we take our rest. We won't know anything. Because we're alive now, we know that one day we're going to die. But once we die, we're not going to even know that we're dead. We're not going to even know anything. It's just like a deep, deep black sleep waiting on the coming of the Lord. Let's think God is like that instead of being able to, you know, as they say, when you die 5 minutes later, you float upon the purple and pink clouds, you know, up in heaven. But rather, know that it's not like that. And second of all, you probably wouldn't even want to be like that anyway. Third of all, let's thank God we take our rest. And understand that when we take our rest, we don't know we're dead. We don't know that we're alive, and we don't know anything. But just a pitch black, dark sleep, waiting on the coming of the Most High God. Now let us go into the book of Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. In verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. In the ground, been dead so long, pretty sure the dust of the bones is gone. We all, he ain't in heaven. He taking his rest just like the rest of the saints. Wait on his first resurrection reward. Because there's an appointed time for everything. We're so quick to try to go to heaven, but the scriptures simply say that heaven is coming down on earth. And when heaven comes down on earth, and if you find yourself worthy, then we all can enjoy it together. Then everybody that did righteousness, everyone that did this thing the best of their ability, the ones that have found acceptance and favor in the eyesight of the Most High God, we all can enjoy the kingdom together at the appointed time. Because we're not going up to it. It is coming down to us. And let's take a look at this beauty of this kingdom that we all get to enjoy at the exact same time, instead of some people getting a reward before. No, we all get it at the same time. So let us go into the book of Revelation chapter 21. The book of Revelation chapter 21. Book of Revelation, chapter 21. The book of Revelation, chapter 21. And what we're going to do is read verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to skip and read verses 16 through 27. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, comma, 16 through 27. Revelation 21 and 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You see, because if you go to heaven too soon, then that means it's just you that's getting your eyes wiped away. But once you what we read in the according to the scriptures is that he gonna wipe all our eyes gonna be wiped away at the same time. So what makes you so special that you gonna get your eyes wiped before mine? It's all at the same time. The reward is at the same time. Well, we know we got the first and second resurrection, but I'm just talking about in the norm. And all the pain and anguish and all those things shall be passed away. So once all of the pain and anguish and wickedness is passed away, then the servants and the people that did the best of their ability to serve the Most High God and found acceptance can enjoy salvation and be not grieved or hurt or being sorrowful. But we all can enjoy it together at an appointed time. Not now. So no heaven now. No, Dan, 5 minutes later you go float up into heaven. Not now. But rather just do the best you can to serve God and keep his law, statutes, and commandments. And if you die before his coming, just take your rest. And just know at that appointed time that we all go get the kingdom together. And he'll wipe all our eyes at the same. He'll wipe all our eyes and tears. And no more pain. Verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now let's skip down to verse 16, and we're going to read verses 16 through 27. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire. And the third, a colony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, a sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, crystallite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a crystallarius, the 11th, a jeneth, the 12th, and an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no light there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So now this pretty jewel we could be living in. Just be patient and wait for that. And understand that there's a point in time that the service is going to get these things, but not now. And we also figured out, why would you want to go to heaven, seeing how messed and wicked and jacked up this world is? But let's be patient and wait for it, without beating down or bashing people or to try to prove what you know. No. But just understand that there's a point in time for these things. And if you want to know how simple it really is, all we got to do is read the Lord's Prayer. So let's read a portion of the Lord's Prayer. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. And what we're going to do is read verses 9 and 10. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth and heaven. So, you read verse 9, it says, After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, holy is his name. His kingdom is coming somewhere. And when it get there, the likeness of what he did in the kingdom will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom is coming from heaven. And when you read the Lord's Prayer, it's telling you that heaven is going to be on earth. And the same way as it was established in heaven will be established the exact same way on earth. And we read the goodie bag of this whole thing about how wonderful and glorious the kingdom is going to be on earth. So even if you want to know the Lord's plans, all you got to do is read the Lord's Prayer, and you'll see that you're not going to heaven, but rather heaven coming down to the earth. So this is why we shouldn't be beating and bashing people down, but just rather, you know, use a scenario or put something on their mind. So at another point in time, you know, they might want to come back to you and talk to you about it again. So this is why we need to approach this thing in a certain way. Let's read the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. And what we're going to do is just read verse 15. Let's come this way. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you. Right? So if people ask you a question, you got to give it to them. But the main thing is how are you going to give it to them? Are you going to come in a friendly manner, or are you going to come with pride and arrogance, cutting people off and go, you let them finish talking? So even if they did have an ear on the conversation about why would you want to go to heaven, how is you going to bring that message if they come to you with it again? Or if you have a chance, opportunity to bring this message to somebody. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So when people ask you a hope of salvation or just trying to throw some things at you to see what's going on, we have to come in the spirit of meekness and fear, not knowing it all, or beating and bashing people down, or cast them off as evil just because they don't have no understanding. No. Just do the work. Be peaceful and go on about your business. And love them anyway, and don't judge them on the things they don't know. Now let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and 32, and I have two more after this. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. And what we're going to do is read verse 32. Ephesians 4 and 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So even if they don't know, still be tenderhearted to them. Be forgiven. You know, because when it comes to this heaven thing, you got to be careful, because this is something they've been taught their whole life, something they could be so strong on. So we got to be careful how to bring the message. Now, I'm not saying that you do all you can, they still be mad at you or just cast you off and do wicked. Then that's out of your hands. You can't do nothing but just dust your shoulders off and keep it moving. But at the same point in time is that make sure that we do have a good behavior, and when we're dealing with the Word of God, it's in the spirit of meekness and fear. Why? Let's check that again. Let's go in the book of Romans chapter 14. Book of Romans 14, verses 1 through 13. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him not that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So this is more of a manner of minding our own business. And stop looking at what your brother is doing and focus more on ourselves. Verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So verse 5 is telling us one man is respected one day above another. So one man get probably a little bit more respect than original man one day, and it's telling us that another is respected every day alike. So some people just get that same exact respect every day alike. But what we need to understand is that it also tells us let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So this is where our humility and humbleness got to play part, because if they don't see it, or even if they don't want to see it, you can't force them to see it, because let every man be persuaded in his own mind. So even if we do come up with the conversation of going to heaven, we can throw our things on the table in the spirit of meekness and fear, you know, and come at a level mind of understanding that we were once like them. And if they still don't get it and they don't believe you, you know, don't hate them and try to, you know, put all their business on Facebook on how you talk to this lost brother or sister who think they're going to heaven. But rather understand, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. Leave them alone and do what you got to do. Verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doeth not regret it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and arose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Right? So why are we going to sit here, point the finger at what people, all what they're doing on the Sunday churches and not even understanding that there are so many things we need to work on ourselves? They're going to have to bow the knee, but we're going to have to bow the knee as well. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So everybody got to go to God on their ups and downs. You know, the things they have allowed and the things they have not allowed. Can't be too focused on what other people is doing, but rather be a loving brother and deal with them according to spiritness and meekness and fear, and worry about yourself. And do what you can to be a loving brother, and do all you can to eliminate as much of this filthy flesh off ourselves. We can't do that if we too focus on what other people is doing with their time and trying to figure out a way to try to shame them. We don't have time for that. But rather do the work and take care of your master's business. And a lot of that on taking care of the master's business is working on yourself. So at that appointed time, you can do great things for the Father. Now let's go on to the last spot. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, and this is last. The book of Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You know, so it's the saying is that stop acting like you're perfect. Stop acting like you don't have your own thing. You know, and coming into the truth, it makes us so self-righteous and so pious and holy, like we don't make no mistakes when it comes to other people. Now, they don't know. They get an excuse and try to get their stuff together. But a lot of things that we do, we know. And we sit here and try to point the finger at what they're doing. Like the Lord don't see us and our shortcomings, and we know. But the same judgment we give to these people who don't have no understanding is how the same way God is going to get us. And we're talking about the heaven conversation. Bash won't hate people because they believe it. But, you know, you could rather put a scenario and put them in a situation for them to understand why would they want to go. And even if they still don't want to hear it, hey, still leave off with a good report card with your behavior. So through the grace of God, I hope you got some understanding on this precept that is called, why would you want to go to heaven? I turn things over to Brother Miles, and I thank y'all for your time. Thank you for tuning in.
All right. Amen, 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 amen. Great precept, my brother.
Amen.
We'll open up everybody's phones here. All right, amen. Great precept, my brother, and I'd like to say that, you know, in all that we do, everything that we do should be done from the position of love, even when it's with, you know, people who don't agree with us. We're trying to show them something that's in the book. And, you know, the scripture that you use, that when you a brother offended, that is a great scripture, because, you know, you create an enemy. It's hard to turn an enemy. And so when we are approaching people and trying to, you know, teach them different things about the scriptures that they may not have been taught in the Christian church, or even when it turns around to the camps, because there's things that the camps believe that are not necessarily scriptural. You know, they'll have a scripture for it, but they don't have the in all the scripture that goes with it, and it changes what it's saying. So I agree with you 1,000% that we as a people, we should approach everybody with love and then not condemn them. I never try to condemn a person's the experience that they've had with the Most High, because, you know, everybody comes to him through different ways. You know, one of the challenges I have is when we're trying to convince our own people who we are. You know, how do you convince another brother or sister that this is your heritage? Because the first thing they'll want to say is, I don't want to be cursed. So, you know, trying to find a way to present it to them such that, you know, they will eat it is a challenge. And so the same thing with any topic in the scriptures where we may not necessarily see things the same way, we have to allow people their view and their understanding and then give them a chance to see it in a more perfect way. I think is what like the book of Acts chapter 19 teaches. When you were using Romans chapter 11 and those scriptures, you know, it says don't throw a stumbling block in front of anybody. So if one esteems this day and another one don't, I usually teach this a little bit different, but you don't want to throw a stumbling block in front of anybody. You don't want to make them, you know, I think one of the keys in that chapter is Christ is now the God of the living and the dead. When Christ talked about the Most High, he said he's the God of the living. But after the work on the cross and the resurrection, he became the God of the living and the dead, and he changes titles. So we have to understand, we have to allow people their understanding and try to teach them better, not condemn. But, you know, just teach what Yah has shown you and why. And then if it's meant for them to see it, then they'll see. If it's not meant for them to see it, they won't. So great precept, my brother. If there's anybody else who would like to add to this, your phones are already live.
Oh, shalom.
Shalom.
I just wanted to say thank you, Brother Miles, and thank you, Brother Isaiah. I enjoy your lessons so much. Thank God for you guys. That's all I had to say. I love you.
All right, amen. We love you too, sister. Anyone else? All right. If there's no other comments, before I make the announcements, Brother Isaiah, do you have anything else you would like to add?
Oh, no, that's fine. That was enough for today. Thank you, bro.
Amen. Amen. So, great precept. You know, we are told to be as harmless as doves and wise as serpents. We are told to seek peace and pursue it. Anytime you become confrontational with someone, they're going to go on the defensive and sometimes on the offensive. It tells us to offend no one. Should not be our purpose to offend, but it should be to teach and love. And so we have a lot of brothers out there with this need to feel important, is the way I see it. You know, they want to feel important. They want to feel heard. And what they got is the absolute truth. And the way they want to give it to you is stuff it down your throat. And if you can't chew it or swallow it, then something wrong with you. So this is a precept that needs to be heard much by many of our people that are out there who call themselves teachers, who call themselves being reformative. We are supposed to draw the world to us with love. Now, truth is truth, but there's a way that, you know, you present truth. There's a way that you approach people. There's a way that you fish for them. So trust me, if you are a fisher, a person that actually fishes, goes fishing for natural fish, you know that every fish don't eat the same bait. And if they do, it has to be presented to them a certain way for this fish to bite it and not that one. The same way with the word of Yah. If you are fishing, then you have to know how to present the word of Yah. And if you don't know how to fish, then trust me, these brothers ain't catching a whole lot of people. If they are, they're catching people with the same mentality. So anger will draw anger.
Mm-hmm.
Fear will draw fear. It's all in what you present with. And so we just want to make sure that we are presenting the word of Yah to the world with love. Present the facts, but present it with love. It's up to them to accept it. So you shouldn't try to force it down their throat. If they don't agree with you, if they don't understand, you just consider yourself as dropping the seed. You may not know. Somebody else may have already testified to them, and you are watering, and you don't know. You may think you're dropping the seed, but you're the waterer. And it's not important. Most I said, neither the planter nor the waterer is important. It is Yah that's doing the work. So if it's meant for them to see it or believe it or to come to him, he's the one that draws them. He's the one that calls them. He's the one that converts them. We just drop the seed or we water and keep moving. It's when we try to force our opinions on people, our understandings, that the confrontation comes and the making of enemies. Messiah himself said, they that are not against you are for you. So you don't exactly believe the way that I believe, but you are for the body of Messiah. Then just as we were once of one understanding and we grew, you got to give them that same opportunity. So I say, well done, my brother. And on this evening, there won't be a broadcast. I need this time to actually do ministry work, work on the website and things like that. Not unless Brother Isaiah wants to bring one. But as far as I'm concerned, there won't be one from me. Tomorrow evening, amen.
Bye-bye.
So you'll let me know, brother. Tomorrow evening, we will be doing the Bible study with the Apostolic House of Judah. And we're still working on clean and unclean, holy and unholy. I welcome you guys to join. It has gotten better as far as background noise, even though there's some here occasionally, but they are trying to get better. So, I invite you to join because this is the word presented in a format where the people can also ask questions. And they typically do ask questions. These are not people who have been in the law a long time. I'm actually teaching them the law. And so this is a typical Christian church who is trying to convert to be and obey the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. So you'll hear things that, you know, you might make you reel back sometime. But understand that it has to be dealt with from the standpoint that they are new and coming into the Word of Yah and His statutes, laws, and commandments. So the brother has asked me to teach them the statutes, laws, and commandments and the precepts behind them. And so that's what we endeavor to do. And to set the expectation that, you know, even the expectation that a lot of us didn't get concerning sin and what it is and how we should be, what should our attitude be toward Yah. A lot of us have too much of a cavalier attitude toward the Most High. And these are teachers with us. So our people don't gain the appropriate fear of the Most High. And we feel like we can just do anything. So we want to, you know, we want to start setting a different expectation with that. Okay, so you're welcome to join us tomorrow evening, 6:30 p.m. your time, Central Standard Time, as we go through it with this young church, trying to get them to understand the statutes, laws, and commandments. And they are hungry for it. So I pray that you join. Then on Tuesday, Brother Isaiah, weren't you going to bring another precept, at least on Tuesday, I think?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so on Tuesday will be Brother Isaiah again on Tuesday evening. He will be bringing the precept. Whatever that may be, he'll send it to me and I'll post it. And then on Thursday, we will have the family business meeting. Where we are continuing to review the bylaws for Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries so that we have an understanding of what the ministry is about and that we are agreeing to obey these things as a body, and also kind of a training in the scriptures and why we believe what we believe. Okay, so I encourage you all to join, to attend. We do vote on the different articles, the wording, and so forth. So, you know, you're not buying into something that you don't know anything about. Everything that is concerning this ministry will be covered. And, you know, pray that the body buys in to it, because this is what the law looks at. This is what the world looks at. And if we are saying one thing and doing another, then we will be in trouble. So I pray that you join, and that to do, you know, to learn to do those things. All right, and then again we will be back Sabbath evening. I do want to say, for those who, when we were discussing the feast days and where the confusion came in on that, and I'll put this in writing so that you know the feast days as I have published them, they are correct. When you go by the moon cycle, the moon being the beginning of the month, the days that I put into the letter that I send out when you ask for a Title VII letter so you can give it to your boss so you can have Sabbath off and the feast days off, because by law, if they can, if it's any way possible, by law, if you say that you need these days off for religious purposes, they have to grant them. Okay. But the days that I have in there are, you know, the first day of the feast, and then sometimes the seventh or the eighth day is a required day off. It's a holy convocation. And so what I have done is, like for Feast of Passover, the Feast of Passover on the 14th day of the month, that's a holy convocation. But it's also the first day of the Feast of Unleavened. So what I have in there for the Feast of Unleavened, that's the last day of the Feast of Unleavened. But it's not the first day of the Feast of Unleavened. So it's saying, asking for those days off, so that the letter that I send out to you, if it says Feast of Unleavened, the required day off is Passover and the last day of the Feast of Unleavened. All the other days in between, you're not required to take off. You can, you know, you can work and stuff. So that's the way that the letter that I sent out to you, that's the way it's formatted. The work days that you're requesting off are those days by the scripture that it says that they are holy convocations. And that may not be the first day of that feast. Okay, so that we have an understanding. And I may redo it so that I put in there, you know, when the actual feast starts and the days that you need to request off. But to your employer, I just wanted to give them the days that you need it off so that we understand. So when you look at the letter, say, oh, Feast of Unleavened, he's got that on the 8th, but we know it started on the 1st, just as an example. And you're thinking that I'm saying that the Feast of Unleavened starts on the 8th. No, that's not what it's saying. It's the day that you need off that's on there. Okay, so I will send that out and explain that that's what it's doing. These are the days that you need to request off. These are the days that the scripture says that you need off, and so that it's identified in that letter. I will do a different letter or a different table that says, oh, the Feast of Unleavened starts on this date, this is the last date, so that we know when it starts and when it ends. But the letter itself is requesting to your employers that you have these particular days off, which may not necessarily line up with the start of that feast day, but that you're taking it off for that feast. I hope that's not confusing. But that's what that's about. Okay. So those are the days in the letter that you need to request off, and it's just preset in the letter. And next year those days will change, so you will need a new letter. So those are for 2021. If you have the mind that you celebrate different, then that's, you know, that's of course your choice and on you. But these are the dates that we have set up for this ministry and this body. Okay, any questions on that? And I'll again bring this back up next business meeting so that we have an understanding that the dates that are in there are the days that you need to request off for the year so that you can plan. All right, amen. Okay, that being said, let us pray out. And Brother Isaiah, I'm going to put that on you, brother. It's your day. Now, he might have already dropped. All right, I'll pray us out. Let us turn toward these, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Father Yah, we thank you for the word which we have received today. We thank you for always feeding us and giving us truth. Father Yah, we love you. We glorify you and we magnify you. We wish only to serve you, Father, in the ways that you have said that you would want to be served. Father, bless your people as we go forth this week. Let us be an example to the world. When they meet us, they meet you. And if they don't know you, give each and every one of us the opportunity to present this gospel of the kingdom to them in a loving and kind way. And we'd be so grateful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Until next time, my brothers and sisters, peace and blessings. Yah loves you, and I love you as well. Shalom.
Without you.